On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
So let's say these words again together. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Now we've been looking at these really important true stories from the Bible over the last few weeks, boys and girls and mums and dads, building up to that first Easter. And we saw 2 days ago on Good Friday how Jesus died in place of people like you and me. Those of you who are here or watch on our YouTube channel will have remembered seeing three crosses in the middle of the stage. Jesus was crucified in the middle, and then either side, two criminals were crucified, if you remember. Two people who deserved to die either side of someone who definitely did not deserve to die. And we saw, didn't we, boys and girls and mums and dads and friends, that while one of those criminals carried on living their life, cursing God, rejecting Jesus, like he'd done all of his life, and to be honest, that's what we do all of our lives naturally, boys and girls, the other criminal admitted his sin, he believed Jesus could forgive him, and he came to Jesus in repentance and faith. ABC. He admitted his sin, he believed Jesus could forgive him, and then he came to Jesus and said, "Sorry, please forgive me." And Jesus promised, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, while for that criminal to be saved, to know that he could be saved was the most wonderful thing in the world. Just like for us today, by the way, boys and girls and mums and dads, friends, those watching at home, if we admit our sin, A, if we believe that Jesus can forgive us, B, and if we come to him and say, "Sorry, please, will you forgive me?" We come in repentance and faith. He will forgive us. He'll accept us. We can't skate over the fact that for Jesus to do that for us was the most painful thing in all of history, in the whole of eternity. It was so painful. It was painful, the physical death on the cross for Jesus, and to be crucified, boys and girls. We see these crosses around the place. People have them on, around their necks. But to be crucified was a very, very horrible thing in ancient times, boys and girls. Even worse than that was for Jesus to be separated from his Father. From the first time in all of his life, that separation, that spiritual separation from God. You see, the only way that Jesus could bring people like you and me, like that thief on the cross, to the stunning heights of salvation, like that view from the top of Penivan, was first of all to go through the agony of the cross. Because having entered the darkness of death, the risen Lord Jesus changes everything. That's the big message of our passage today, and our theme today. Having entered the darkness of death, the risen Lord Jesus changes everything. But it wasn't just Jesus who felt the agony of Good Friday, boys and girls. Think about it, his followers in our passage and in the Gospels around. the followers, those 11 disciples, initially were 12 disciples, then one of them left, Judas. But those 11 disciples lived in fear about who was going to be next. And those three women who went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, they were so sad that they had lost someone so close to them. Very often, those early Christians used to hide away in locked doors. And they had seen their dear friend, their close friend Jesus, lose his life, cut down, just when they loved him so much, they lived in fear. Who's going to be next? You know what, boys and girls, this last year with the nasty coronavirus, lots of people have been living in fear. It's like a big cloak has been thrown over the whole of the world. So many people live in fear. Maybe they're afraid of their own lives, what might happen. Maybe they've lost a loved one who was so close to them. Maybe there are people who feel it's so impossible to be hopeful. Even though the sun is shining, we feel very sad in our hearts. Maybe that's you today, here at church or watching at home. Well, certainly in our passage, when the 11 disciples are gathered together, they Mary and another lady called Mary and Joanna arrive at the scene, and they cannot believe them. So in Luke chapter 24, if you've got your Bibles open, Luke chapter 24 is where you need to be. And they can't believe what the women say as they're doing that.
Dave, hello, I've got something to tell
you. Excuse me, who are you?
Oh, I'm Mary Magdalene. I'm just come from the tomb of Jesus.
Mary, I'm really sorry, I'm midway through a sermon at the moment, so just
No, seriously. You've got to listen. I went with my two friends, Mary, the mother of James, and Joanna. And, oh, I love Jesus so much for all that he's done for me. And so we wanted to anoint his body with spices.
Mary, please, just, if you can just be...
And we got there, and Jesus' body wasn't there, and then two angels turned up in the dazzling white clothes.
Mary, I'm speaking, please.
But you've got to understand, they said, Jesus, why are you looking for the dead among the people? Jesus isn't here, he is risen.
Go ahead, Mary, keep going.
And then they reminded us what Jesus had told us all. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then we remembered his words.
Thank you, Mary.
It's okay, Dave.
Lovely to hear from you. Oh, I hate to say it, you may think my reaction was a bit unkind to Mary as she was speaking to me, but to be honest, that was the reaction of the 11 disciples as they were gathered together. Afraid about what was going on. So if you look in the Bible passage, let me read it out. It says in verse 9, when the women came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who with them who told them this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. That's pretty strong, isn't it, that word, nonsense? You know, you may have heard of people sometimes talk about doubting Thomas. And there was a person called Thomas in John chapter 20 who doubted that Jesus really had risen from the dead. Actually, to be honest, you know, we've got to be careful to think that, you know, oh, it was only Thomas who doubted and everyone else believed. This is the doubting disciples. All the 11 doubted. They thought it was nonsense. Everyone knows dead people don't come back to life. Dead people don't rise again. I can see lots of doctors around them. You know, dead people stay dead. And Mary and Joanna, clearly you've got your facts wrong, the disciples thought. You know, very sadly, in ancient times, a woman's opinion really wasn't accepted. No one really believed what women used to say. And so it's amazing that God chose women to explain to the guys the fact that having entered the darkness of death, the risen Lord Jesus changes everything. The big message we've been seeing all the way through our service today. And God chose women to pass the message on to his apostles. Well, maybe you're a bit suspicious like the disciples. And we think, really, that sounds a bit nonsense. Certainly I've got friends who say, oh, it's nonsense. Jesus rise from the dead, that can't be true. Dead people stay dead. How can we be sure Jesus rose? And maybe the women wished that he'd risen from the dead. And they had hoped that he'd rise again, and they imagined that he'd rise from the dead. Well, actually, if you keep on reading Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, Jesus appears alive and loads of people see Jesus alive. Loads of them do. And people eat with him and they touch him and they speak to him. And one time we're told in 1 Corinthians that 500 people see Jesus alive. Sometimes in the daytime, sometimes in the nighttime, sometimes inside, sometimes outside. But in our passage, which we're looking at, basically a few verses in chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, the empty tomb. And so Peter, having heard from these women, rushes to the empty tomb. And this is what he sees. Verse 12, it says, Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, maybe you feel a bit like Peter. You'd love to run to the tomb yourself and check it out. Unfortunately, we can't do that because this was 2,000 years ago. But we have to go on the reports of other people who saw it. And I was trying to think about that this morning, guys. I was thinking, how can I visualize what it would have been like to have been there at the tomb of Jesus the first Easter? And I was thinking about it, and I remember a friend of mine, Andrew Satch, did this last year, and so I thought I'd pinch his idea. So there are four ways of thinking about Jesus' tomb, okay? Here's option one, what you might call the corpse option, that Peter would run to the tomb and see the corpse lying there in the tomb with the clothes on. And that's the first thing you would expect, and presumably the women expected to see the corpse of Jesus lying in the tomb. They thought they'd see a dead body there. They had all those spices. But his body wasn't there, so you've got to get rid of that option. Second option is maybe grave robbers stole the body. Maybe it was grave robbers, because there was no body there. Oh, the trouble is, though, that our passage explains that there were strips of linen still lying there, so it can't be that grave robbers stole the body. And by the way, boys and girls, yeah, they did have grave robbers in Bible times, but you would never leave the clothes behind because that was really, really posh stuff. It was really, really expensive, and you used to sell the clothes on and all the spices and get loads of money back. You didn't want the body, you wanted the clothes. So that doesn't seem right either. Well, maybe there's another option that you imagine going to the tomb and all the clothes just thrown onto the floor, higgledy-piggledy, which is a little bit like what you find in some teenagers' bedrooms where the clothes are kind of thrown out there. There's a pile of clothes on the floor. Or maybe some of you youngsters, you get undressed for bed, you just throw your clothes to the floor. Sometimes I do that, boys and girls, as well. And it's just a mess on the floor. Actually, that's not what they found when they went to the tomb. This is what they found. If you actually read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, this is a different account. Peter runs to the tomb, and this is what we read. Then Peter saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. In other words, all the clothes weren't kind of messed about on top of each other. The body of Jesus has come out, leaving the grave clothes exactly as they are. The cloth around the head is there, and then the body is down there. So next slide, what to evidence the fact that he really has risen from the dead, you can see, like I've got my little face mask, that's there, separate from the rest of the clothes. And when Peter went to see the tomb, he would have seen these clothes just laying down there exactly as they had been around Jesus, which made Peter and the other apostles and certainly the women convinced, seeing this empty tomb, surely Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. So, question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Answer, yes, 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 he really did rise from the dead. And then the next chapter, we see him meeting loads of people and showing it convincingly for himself. Because having entered the darkness of death, the risen Lord Jesus changes everything. In fact, why don't we all say that out? I've said it a few times now. Let's say it after three. One, two, three. Having entered the darkness of death, the risen Lord Jesus changes everything. And it's true. He really did change everything at the time, and he changes everything today. At the time, he changed those cowardly converts to fearless followers, disciples who'd give up their lives for Jesus. But he didn't just change life then, boys and girls and mums and dads. He changes life today. He changes everything today. You know, lots of us have got our hopes set on this vaccine coming. And praise God that a vaccine has been developed. And we pray that normal life will resume before too long. But to be honest, boys and girls and mums and dads, the vaccine won't take away the fact that one day all of us will one day die. We will all have to face death one day. But knowing Jesus Christ has risen from the dead changes everything. It changes how we think about death. It's a bit like when you get to the top of a mountain, the top of Penavan, and you see the whole world. You see it in a different point of view. You see, oh, it suddenly makes sense. I see everything differently. And when you know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, you will see everything differently. Fear looks different. Sadness, it's changed. Pain, it's changed. Loneliness is changed because we know that there is someone who has risen from the dead who'll be with us, who'll walk with us in all of our pains. Disappointment is changed. Things are never the same again, knowing that Jesus has risen from the dead. That's the great hope of the Christian faith, boys and girls, mums and dads and friends. So I just want to ask you the question, are you trusting in him today? Because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. That is the great hope for all who look to him. He really is risen indeed. And it should lift our hearts in praise. And it should mean we can go to sleep at night knowing that there's someone who has risen, someone who is in control of death and who promises to be with us and will get us through death, whatever we face. Well, let's bow our heads and pray, and then we'll have our final song. Let's pray. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that having died on the cross and entered the darkness of death, you've come through and are now risen and exalted in heaven. We thank you that we can trust that because that tomb was empty, truly empty, that you are seen and that you give life. We thank you that your new life changes everything that we face. Please help us to know you in our lives. And we thank you for your promise to be with us, whatever we go through, if we turn to you. And we pray in your precious name. Amen.